Kodesh, she's a Zeicher. But how is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested his Shechina on a Goy of a Rasha? So Rashi says there should not be a Pischein Peh for the Umas HaOilam. The nations of the world should not have an excuse. They shouldn't be able to say, oh, look, he gave the Yidin Moshe Rabbeinu. If you would have given us somebody like Moshe Rabbeinu, we also would have been great. So for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a Bilam. And Afal Pi Kein Bilam did not help them. He wasn't able to elevate them. And Bilam remained Bilam. So the Mefarshim ask a question. What kind of an answer is that to the Goyim? He gave them a Bilam, and look what turned up with Bilam. Bilam wasn't anything great. What happened? Bilam took his kaiches and he ruined them. So how is this a terrorist to the Goyim? Take a look, I gave you a Bilam. I saw that the Sefer Lev Aaron says the following terrors. A leader can only be as good as the nation that he represents. Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader of Klal Yisrael. He was brought up amidst a nation that had high goals. They were elevated people. They were refined people. They worked on their midas. Even before the Torah was given, it was an elevated people. We had a Messiah from the Ovis HaKadoshim. So the leader that stands up to lead them, he comes mitoch his people, and his kaychus are taka elevated through the people there. But Bilam came from the Goyim. He taka was given gevaldige kaychus. But he was brought up in a chinuch of taiva, of kovid, of mamim, so nothing came of those kaiches. If you have midas and you have taira to be able to elevate those kaiches, then it can be a great thing. But to have pure kishrin without the taira, without the midas to elevate it, then it's worthless. I don't know, as I'll say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went around to all the nations of the world offering them the Torah. He went to Asa, he went to Yishmael, he went to Moab, he went to all the nations. They all have different excuses. So Klal Yisrael, that knew that they were a nation of destiny to be Makabal the Torah, they already prepared themselves for that beforehand from the times of the Ovis HaKadoshim. A leader of such a nation becomes elevated and those kaikas are brought to fruition. Masha'en king, the leader of a nation that's into taiva, they're not interested in shtaiking, they're not interested in growth. See, he remains with his kaifas, but nothing good becomes of it. And lehepach, it caused tremendous damage, it caused tremendous hashchos. The pasuk goes on to say, Vayomer Elokim el Bilam, leseilech imohem, do not go with the sarei moyav, leseoir esha'om, you may not curse the nation, ki baruchu. So Rashi over here brings down the Medrash. Leselech imam, do not go with them. So Bilam said, okay, so I won't go with them. I'll curse them from where I am. She says, no. Leselech imam, ki baruchu. You cannot curse them. She said, okay, so I won't curse them. Let me give them a bracha. So the Hashem says, you don't have to give them a bracha. I already blessed them. They're blessed before your bracha came about. Ki baruchu. So the Mefarshim ask a question over here. What kind of a Meshuggah is this Bilam? He wants to curse them. He says, no, you can't curse them. Okay, so let me bless them. Like, what happened in the middle? First he wants to give them a klala, and now he wants to give them a bracha? What's that all about? Second of all, Rashi brings down a marshal that people say about a bee, loy meibu tsech v'loy meibu sheikh. I don't want your bite, and I don't want your honey. Same thing over here. I don't want your bite, and I don't want your honey. The Mefarshim is, what kind of a marshal is that? But people do like honey. They'll take the honey without the bite. And here is Bilam wanted to give them a bracha. So why not take the honey of the bracha? Why did there have to be a bite involved over here? So there's a pirush I saw from one of the Hungarian rabbonim. His name is Rav Yosef Schwartz. He was the rabbi of Grossverdein. And he said the following. He says, Bilam was a sly fellow, sneaky fellow. When he wanted to give a bracha, he didn't really want to give a bracha. He wanted it to be a bracha that turns out to be a klal. How so? It is a davar yadua. It's known. The Medrash tells us. Why was Rivka Imenu an akara? Why didn't she have children for a long time? Because Lavan gave her a bracha. Afeisenu at hayila alfei revada. My sister, you should multiply to the tens of thousands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want it to seem that she was having children because of the bracha of that Rasha. See, Bedafka made her an akara, and that she should daven and daven and daven for years, and then her children will come because the tefillahs that she was mispallah. She and Yitzchok were mispallah. So Bilam had that same question. Bilam knew that because Laban gave her bracha, it turned out she didn't have any children. He wanted to give them brachas, and he was hoping that that would turn into a klala, and they wouldn't be blessed because of that. But he made one major mistake. By Rivka, the reason why she had to remain in Akara is because Laban was the one that gave her the bracha first. Hashem never blessed her beforehand. But over here, Klal Yisrael already received many, many brachas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the fact that Bilam now is going to give a bracha, that's not going to harm them at all. That's what happened over here. At first he wanted to give them a klala. So there's nothing doing. Okay, so let me give them a bracha. And he had in mind that this bracha will turn out to be a klala. Hashem says it's not going to help you any. Ki Baruch Hu, I already blessed them beforehand. Once I blessed them and everybody knows that I gave them the bracha, your bracha is not going to harm anything. And that's very good with the marshal, because he wanted to give a bracha that had in it a bite. He wanted to give a bracha that was going to harm them. For that we tell him, we don't want your honey and we don't want your bite. If it would be honey alone, that would be one thing. But here it was honey together with a bite that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, we don't want any of that. Pasuk goes on to say one of the greatest nisim that happened in the history of the world. Vayiftach Hashem es piv ha'asi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the mouth of the donkey. Chazal say that the mouth of the donkey is one of the things that was created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashes. Right after he finished creating the world with Adam Arishon, so after that Ben Hashmashes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the piv ha'asi, the mouth of the donkey. What's the significance of that? Why was the mouth of the donkey punk created then? So the Maral explains that which was created in Sheshes Yimei Bereishis is totally, totally physical. It's totally gashmiyadik. Those things that were created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashes are already lamayla from the regular teva. It doesn't fall under the category of regular natural things. It's already lamayla. It's something that involves nes. Memela, it was created after the period of 6 days that the regular natural world was created, and it's already doing it to something of Shabbos, which is Lamayla Min HaTeva. But the next question is, why was it necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the Pi Ha'osayim with the creation of the world? Hashem can't make a nace that a donkey should start talking. Why was it necessary to create it with the Briyas Ha'ayim? The same question could be asked about Kriyas Yamsuf. Rashi in Parshas Bereishis says, Tnai Hisna Kodesh Baruch, Hashem Rashi in Parshas Mishalach, Tnai Hisna Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem made a condition with the Yam that when Klal Yisrael will pass through, it should split and it should return when the Mitzrayim go in there. Why was it necessary for Hashem to make that condition with the creation of the world? Why couldn't Hashem just make that nice, Mishas nice and when it happened? What's the Inyan over here? So the Mepharshim say that this teaches us the chashivus of Klal Yisrael. Without Klal Yisrael, there cannot be the existence of a world. And Mela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the creation of the world, he had to install a defense mechanism that the world should have a kiyum. And the only way the world can have a kiyum is if it defends Klal Yisrael, if it comes and it protects it. So, of course Hashem could make nisim later on, but Hashem wanted to show that this just wasn't the nace, that happened to be. It was a nace where the whole world depends on this nace. That is why, with the creation of the world, he had to lechatchila create the Pi Ha'asayim. The purpose of the mouth of the ocean was to try and get Bilam to desist from going to curse Klal Yisrael. It didn't work, which we'll speak about a little bit, later on. But the purpose of that was to save Klal Yisrael. That is a defense mechanism in the Etzem Bria. The same thing with Kriyas Yamsuf. To be able to save Klal Yisrael, which Mimela will save the existence of the entire world, that had to be created with the Bria itself. So, Vayiftach Hashem es Pi Ha'asayim. What did I do to you? What did I do to you that you hit me these three times? So Rashi over here brings an interesting medrash tanchuma. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Ata roitza lakar uma, you want to uproot a nation? She'oilu l'regel sholosh v'amon bashonah? In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the word Sholosh Regolim into the mouth of the donkey as a remez to Bilam. This is a nation that's Mekayim, Aliyah L'Regel Sholosh Regolim, or it will be Mekayim, and you want to uproot such a nation? question is, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked on this mitzvah in particular? He could have said, you know, you want to uproot a nation that's going to be Mekayim Tefillin, you want to uproot a nation that's going to be Mekayim Dalav Minim. Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked this mitzvah of Shalosh Regalim. So the Vilna Gaon says a beautiful shot. The Vilna Gaon says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Bilam, you can't destroy Klal Yisrael, because if you destroy Klal Yisrael, who's going to be Mekayim the Torah? So Bilam said, I'll be Mekayim the Torah. What's the problem? You know, they don't have to be Mekayim the Torah. I'll be left over here, I'll be Mekayim the Torah. Okay, that might be a timer, but there's only one problem. There's one mitzvah for sure that Bilam cannot be Mekayim. Bilam was blind on one eye, and Bilam also was lame on one foot. And the halacha is that someone that is blind even on one eye, or someone that limps on one foot, cannot be Mekayim the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. He's parted from being Aliyah L'Regel, Shalosh Regalim. So the male, this was the time that you want to uproot Klal Yisrael. One of the mitzvahs of their Mekayim is Shalosh Regalim, but that's a mitzvah that you can't be Mekayim because you're blind on one eye, and you also limp. So you're parted from that mitzvah. The male, you can't uproot Klal Yisrael. This was the excuse that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Bilam. Now, what was the lesson to Bilam with the donkey talking to him? What exactly was that lesson? The Sipurna says over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching him, take a look that a donkey is able to speak. And that shows you Hashem's Fasaitiftah. Hashem is the one that opens up the mouths. He can even open up the mouth of a donkey. And your Kayach HaDibur also comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that should awaken Bilam to tshuva. I'm going now to use my Kayach HaDibur that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me, and I'm going to use it against his chosen nation. So the purpose was to be ma'ir him to tshuva. Unfortunately, he didn't take the hint, you know, and he was willing to go on and curse them. But this is what the limud was. A donkey could talk. That shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed it into the mouth of the donkey. And he placed it into your mouth as well. Don't use this gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, the Kayach HaDibur, to use it against Klal Yisrael. The Sefer Melitz Yashir says a different remez. Because he was telling Bilam, don't feel so big that you have a Kayach of saying the Vuh. Here's a donkey, it's able to speak, and it remains the same donkey. And it's the same thing with you. You might have a Gevaldige Kayach HaDibur, but you're still the same donkey. You're still the same Mushkis and Midas, and nothing has, you haven't used your Kayachis to elevate yourself. So the question is, if through all of these Nisim, Vayiftach Hashem is Piyahazim, this Gevaldige Nes, and it didn't work. Didn't work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Bilam a Meir the Kines, and he, what does he do? What would be my reaction if the donkey would start talking to me? I'd faint on the spot. What does Bilam do? He carries on a conversation with it. You know, the donkey asks him, why did you hit me? He says, I'll tell you why I hit you, because you went off the, you know, off the beaten track, you know, you didn't do what you're supposed to do. And he carries on a conversation with him. What's the pshat? How is it possible that if there's such a nace, and Bilam should just talk back, and it shouldn't affect him b'chlal? So Rabbeinu Bechaya says over here, it's because Bilam was a mushkas, because Bilam was a baltaiva, because Bilam was ensconced in his covet, and in his redifa achar amonim, and memela, the greatest nace in the world, cannot help. Nisim are a tremendous way of being a person. But by Medvarim Amurim, if the person wants to elevate himself, if the person works on himself, if the Ratzon comes from within to better himself, so then Nisim could help to ignite within the person that Ratzon to do tshuva. But if the person himself doesn't want to go anywhere, he doesn't want to be Ayla, he's still ready to back around moment, then an ace is not going to happen to Kiyuza. And it's not going to help a Kiyuza. And from here, there's a tremendous limit for us. We tend to think that had we been around in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yidden in the Midbar, had we seen a Kriyas Yamsur, and had we seen the Anani HaKovid, and had we seen the Mon, we would manage to be Chofetz Chaim's overnight. You see from over here that that's not true. Because the Yidden themselves, they experienced all of those Nisim, and Afal Pi Kein, you see that they were Yidden that were Chaitim. Of course many people were in the Seifer from it, but those people had to be B'nai Aliyah, those were people that were interested in growth, for them the Nisim helped. But for those people that were not interested in growing, the Nisim do not help. I might have mentioned before a story that the Chofetz Chaim used to say over. There was the famous Afikairis in the times of the Chofetz Chaim, when the Chofetz Chaim was younger, his name was Avram Doiv Michal Levinson. He was an apikoros with a beard and with peyas, and he was interested in modernizing Judaism, and he was interested in bringing new shittas into Klal Yisrael. And the Chachamim, the Rabbanim at that time were very much against him. He started a rabbi seminary in Vilna against the wishes of the Chachamim. But he was an apikoros. And he had a friend that was also a big philosopher who was not strong. His name was Ginsberg. So one time they had a conversation. They were discussing if there's such a thing as life after death. Is there such a thing as Olam Haba? If it's a question. You know, they were philosophizing about it. So they made a deal with each other that whichever one of them dies first, he'll come to the other one in a dream and notify him about if anything goes on there or not. So sure enough, this guy Ginsberg died first. And Levinson was once taking a walk on the outskirts of the city, and he passed the cemetery. And standing there by the fence, looking him in the face, was his friend Ginsberg. So the fellow fainted on the spot. You know, he was shocked. They had to take him to the hospital. And a couple of weeks later, he was back out again. He had recovered. And people knew about what happened. They knew about the deal that they had. So they came over to him and they said, "No, so are you willing to admit that there's such a thing as life after death? You saw it with your own eyes." He says, I got depressed, and I was hallucinating, and I was, you know, just seeing things, but it's not really true." So the Chofetz Chaim said on that ma'aseh that he could bring the emes mamish right in front of the person. And he was prepared for it. That's what they made up with Chachila. The emes could be staring him in the face. But if the fellow does not want to admit that he's wrong, and he doesn't want to be a Ben Aliyah, so the greatest piece in the world will not help him. That's what the Chofetz Chaim said. And that's really the Nakuda that we see over here. One of the greatest nisim in the world did not help. Vatirani ha'osin, and the donkey saw me. This is the Malach talking to Bilam. And it turned away from me three times. Ulai notza miponai, had it not turned away from me, ki atogam oischoharakti, I would have killed you, the oischoharakti, and I would have kept it alive. So Rashi said, I would have kept it alive. It's mashma that he killed the donkey. Why did he kill the donkey? What did the donkey do wrong? So Rashi says, because it spoke, and because it gave Musr to Bilam, and he wasn't able to stand up, the Bilam was not able to stand up to his donkey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanus on Bilam. If the donkey would have remained, people would say, there's the donkey that bested Bilam, there's the donkey that made a fool out of Bilam. So it's covered for Bilam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the donkey killed. So Chaim Shmuel, it says, what a peladike lesson we have from here. Can you imagine if that donkey would have been left around? People would see it and say, there's the donkey. What a nace. That mouth was created, you know, Ben Hashmash with the Bria, and it spoke back to Bilam. What a tremendous kiddushin shamayim it would have been. It would have brought people to a tremendous madrega b'muna. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? It's not interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it's going to be a pegiyah, in the covet of Rias, in the covet of a person, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to forego his own personal covet, the Kiddush Shem Shemayim, today that a person should not have to suffer embarrassment. And what person are we talking about over here? You're talking about Bilam HaRasha. You're talking about someone that took the great kiddush that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him and he threw it down in the garbage. For Afal Pi Kein, the covet of a human being is such that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to forego his own covet, the Kiddush Shem Shemayim, and he's willing to do that for the sake of covet HaPrius. That's a Meridika lesson for us. I heard from a grandson of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, that they were once walking on Saddle River Road, like by Rabbi Yaakov's house, and they were speaking and learning. And then in the middle, a Goyish funeral passed by. So Yaakov excused himself, and he walked with the procession to be Malava the Aron of this Goyish Levaya. When he came back, his grandson looked at him. He said, "You know, what's this?" He says, "Tzelem Alekim." You know, Tzelem Alekim. A Goyish also would Tzelem Alekim. Does anyone give him cover? That was one nice. Just recently, I saw something that boggles the mind. The Panavizhirov in the 1920s, probably early 30s, he was still the Rav in Panavizh in Litvinov, so he went around collecting money for his yeshiva. And one of the places that he went to was South Africa. Wealthy Jews lived there, so he went to South Africa to collect money. When he came back to Litvinov, so he visited the Chofetz Chaim, and he told him that he was in South Africa. He tells him about the Jewish community over there. The Chofetz Chaim asks him, what about the blacks that live there? The Shvarces that live there? What's their lifestyle like? How do they live? What's with them? And he was mazmur to the Chofetz Chaim. They live in tremendous poverty. They share with each other. They have one piece of bread that we'll share with each other. And the Chofetz Chaim was very interested to know about them. So the Panavizhirov asked him, why is the Rebbe so interested to know about them? He says, they're Bnei Yadam also. And it's Rachmanis that Bnei Yadam have to live in such poverty. And he says, Adarabba, there's a meter that you could learn from them. If you see that in their poverty, they all share with each other, there's a Marita Kalima to be able to learn from them. So you see that the Chofetz Chaim, you know, just Machabek, you know, Schwarzes, you know, he said, Bnei Yadam, and he felt bad for them. That also goes into this lesson of Kavod Abayis. But if it's like that, by Goyen, then Kal V'Chaymer ben Benoishel Kal V'Chaymer, how much the Indian of Kavod Abayis is by a Yid. And with that is the third mice. The Baruch Leibowitz once came into his house during the day. There was a worker fixing something in the house. He thought the worker was a guy, so he greeted him in Polish, have a good day. So Barber passes by and the worker starts laughing. Barber was wondering, what's he laughing about? So he tells the Rebbe, ask him why he's laughing. The Rebbe asked him, so he told her that the Rosh Hashiva thought that I was a guy. So he greeted me in Polish. I'm a Yid. He could have greeted me in Yiddish. Barber heard this. He turned white like a sheet. He says, oi, oi. I wasn't a chavadi like a Yid. He walks over to the fellow. He's begging him for mechila. Please be meichel me. I didn't know that you were a Yid. I would have greeted you in Yiddish. He says, you know, it's a big deal. See, there's a guy, nothing, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's quite all right. He says, what are you talking about? You know what a Yid is? You know what the chashivas of a Yid is? For about a half hour, he was mazur to him what the chashivas of a Yid is. He's considered a bentak with his baruch. And after he was mazur to him, he says, Luke, are you meichel me now? That's the way, you know, Rebaruch Ber was mocked on covet of the Ben Yisrael. He made a mistake. He thought he was a good. But that's a tremendous lesson that we have to learn from over here. By going this the of covet of Rias and Kal V'Chaymer, Ben Benoish of Kal V'Chaymer, by a Yid. One of the brachas that Bilam said about Kal Yisrael, Hen Om, Livodog Yishkain, behold a nation that rests, it lives alone, Uvagoyim lo yizchashav, and it's not considered amongst the nations. So there's a Meiri the Kipshat over here from the Netziv. Hen Om Livodog, behold this nation, when it lives isolated, when it lives separate from the Goyim, Yishkain, it'll be able to rest peacefully. However, Uvagoyim, if it tries to mingle with the Goyim, then lo yizchashav, it will not be considered chashav at all. When are we the way we're supposed to be if we remain a nation apart? If we don't try and take on the minhagim of the Goyim, if we don't try and take on their hashkafis, hen ol vodod, behold that this nation is alone, then yishkain, Hashem lets it rest. Uvagoyim, amongst the Goyim, if it tries to mingle with the Goyim, lo yizchashav, they're not given any chashivas at all. So you do have that the Beis Halevi said a zog, said a saying in Yiddish, if the Yid does not make Kiddush, if the Yid does not sanctify himself, if the Yid does not separate himself and elevate himself to a higher standard, then the Goy ends up making the Havdalah, the Goy ends up making the separation between us. If we want to mingle with them and we want to take on their minhagim, the Goy ends up making the Havdalah. It's very well known, the Meshech Chochma in Parshas B'chukaisai. The Meshech Chochma says that there's a cycle of history from the very beginning of our nation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that our nation's existence depends on our Kiddushah, are keeping the Torah, keeping the mitzvahs, keeping our old minhagim, and keeping the certain form that we were makabel from the previous generations. And therefore, he placed the defense mechanism into the Bria for us to maintain our identity. As long as we live in the Golos, and we live a life separate from the Goyim, and we don't take on their hashkafas, then we're able to survive properly. But the minute we start mingling with them, and the minute we start taking on their minhagim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu flicks the switch in the mind of the Goy, and he says, ooh, get away from us. You don't belong with us. You know, you're a separate nation. Stay away, and they chase us out. Years before World War II, Meir Simcha HaKoyin, who wrote the Sefer Meshech Chochma, he predicted, he said, Yachshavu ki Berlin hi Yerushalayim. In Germany, people will reach the stage where they think that this is their country, this is their Yerushalayim. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a tremendous wind, a tremendous storm that's going to uproot them from their homeland and cast them away into a land far away whose tongue they do not know, the language and the minhagim they do not know. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu spelled out that Klal Yisrael in the Bria. The fact that there's anti-Semitism, Rabbi, the Miller used to say this always, anti-Semitism is the biggest bracha for Klal Yisrael. Because it reminds us we belong the Yisrael, the Am Segula, you're supposed to be a nation separate, you're supposed to be a nation with your own Kedusha, not to mingle with the Goyim. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us over here. Hen Om Levodod, if you're separate, Yisrael, then you'll be able to dwell, rest v'menucha. It's amongst the Goyim, lo yischasha. Just want to finish off with a nice, cute word. The Haftar Rebbe, the Baal Ayin Yisrael, is very much into Ahavas Yisrael. He's the darshan always about loving a fellow Jew. And he used to say that in any parsha in the Torah, you find a remez to Ahavas Yisrael. Somebody asked him, Rebbe, parsha's Balak, where do you see a remez to Ahavas Yisrael? He says, oh, that's simple. The word bolak is v'shetavis. The vez is ve'ahavta. The lamed is l'reyacha. And the kuf is kamaycha. So the Talmud looks at me, he says, Rebbe, he says, that's all very nice, but ve'ahavta is not spelled with a vez. And kamaycha is not spelled with a kuf. He says, ah, if you're always going to be so medagdic and so, you know, meticulous with your friends, you're never going to reach Ahavas Yisrael. That was the cute limud that he wanted to say from over here. Habasi strolls from others everywhere. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.